CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, a senior fellow. And Richard is kind enough to comment on something he's not yet written on, but I look to the future. This is
I have written on it.
Oh, excuse me, Richard. Moore versus Moore versus Harper just argued oral arguments before the Supreme Court, and this turns on the authority of a state Supreme Court versus the authority of a state legislature. The case at hand here is North Carolina, but many other states have been in the news for reversals or amendations of the state election law. Right now, Richard, what do you expect the court to, how do you expect the court to respond to whether the state Supreme Court is or is not empowered to correct the state legislature?
I think they're going to say that that's impermissible, but they're going to have a great deal of trouble finding the remedy. Let me go back to the clause to begin with, because I think there's a surprise at the end. The times, place, and manners of holding, stress the word holding, elections for senators and representatives shall be prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. Okay. Note that what they're talking about is time, place, and manners of holding election. I have actually written elsewhere that I don't think holding elections includes districting kinds of decisions, and that those things would then be left to the state under the ordinary processes. So it turns out that the South Carolina people or the North Carolina court would be right, but for all the wrong reasons. Nobody, but nobody has accepted the position that I take, that the word holding has to be read narrowly. And so then everything starts to go about the rest of this thing prescribed in each state by the legislature thereof. Now, the first thing to note about this is look at the word prescribe. This does not talk about legislation, right? What they're saying, in effect, is that the legislatures have certain kinds of functions that they can perform that are not, in effect, enacting a law in each state by the legislature. They don't say that. And in the president's situation, they don't use the word enact either when they're talking about this in Article 2, the analogous situation. So if it's to be prescribed by the legislature, it means, well, who's the legislature? And, well, there's only one answer to that particular question. And the legislature is that body which is normally in charge, A, of making laws, and B, doing all the other sorts of things that legislatures do, like nominating and confirming candidates for various offices. And if you look further in the situation in this particular constitution, and you go down to the parts of Section 7, it says, every order, resolution, or vote to which the concurrence of the Senate and the House of Representatives may be necessary, then you have to treat it exactly those legislation. But there are some orders and some resolutions which are not necessary to have the concurrence of both parties. And I would argue that the prescription that you're talking about in Article 4 is one of those things. And that suggests that the state legislature has final word with respect to this. There's an important case called Smiley in which Chief Justice Hughes looks at this. And what he says is, I think, in effect, that when it's turned over to the legislature, they mean it's as situated within the state constitution. And so his position was that it was subject to an executive veto under these circumstances. I think that's probably wrong if I'm right about the meaning of the word prescribed, but it was taken as gospel throughout this. Then the next question is, well, where do you go from there? There was a brief written, which I regard as completely bizarre, by Keelamar, Vickamar, and Stephen Calabresi, which says that the state gets to decide what its own legislature for each and every purpose, so that you have the Supreme Court of the state being the legislature when it decides that it's going to pass on this. I think that that's wrong. I think within the traditional framework, what you have to say is that the legislature certainly has the one to set it, and the state Supreme Court can veto it. And then the question is, what bounds can they veto it? This would be a constitutional violation. That's not going to work either, because when you got to the Pennsylvania statute about fair election laws, a phrase also used in North Carolina, everybody comes up there and say, well, we think it's unfair to do the following thing, extending deadlines and all the rest of this stuff. And so the fair election laws becomes a loose canon, which allows you to prescribe all the details of procedure under the various circumstances in which it turns out we have COVID irregularities that are going to be dangerous, that are going to affect election procedures. And the position that many people take is you can take that whole situation, strike everything that the legislature does down, at which point it's just judicial fantasy and courts do what they want. And so I think you have to be extremely narrow as to the grounds on which a state can overturn this. And I would put it, for the most part, that it has to be a kind of a serious intentional violation of some constitutional norm. And that immediately gets you into further problems in trying to sort this thing out.
All right.
Well, because racial discrimination is one of those issues. So what the Supreme Court's going to have to do is to try to narrow the grounds at which the state can overdo it
and
prevent the state legislature from setting this, rather the courts from setting the districts themselves. It's a tough road.
And that is the anticipation of the Wall Street Journal editorial page. Chief Justice John Roberts in oral arguments and Justices Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett appear to be looking for a middle ground that would say North Carolina's court went too far while allowing some state judicial review. Is that what you expect?
I think they're going to try to do that, which means they're going to have to basically say the state Supreme Court cannot be as creative as they would like to be with the equal protection and fair election law arguments that they've been. The Journal has rightly been extremely upset about the way in which Pennsylvania changed the date of eligibility laws of a ballot being cast on issues that had already been vetted thoroughly through the legislature without any sign of any effort. They claimed there would be a disparate impact effect on matters of race. They didn't even show that in any particular way. And I think one thing that cannot do is you cannot say that if there's ever a disparate impact by race, it's a racial violation. That means that virtually every law on the books is going to be subject to some kind of attack. And I think in the end, it's not going to be permissible. They will not let that stand. What they will do, who knows? But remember, the key constraint is you have a very short time period in which to untangle all of these things. So if you try to send it back to the legislature, is there going to be a second challenge and a third? And you've got to do this in a matter of days. And this is all that happened with respect to Gore v. Bush. Remember, they were deciding things 1 hour after another. It's going to be crazy. And I think they understand just how difficult it is. My view is redistricting is not covered by the phrase holding an election. I think the word manner is much narrower than that. I've never seen the argument raised or rebutted. That's the position I take, and at which point, ironically, the state of North Carolina could do it as it wants normally, but it would have to do it in a timely fashion. And if Congress doesn't like the way it does it, it could put into place a better set of rules. We do not know, by the way, whether or not when they change these rules by Congress may at any time make all the such regulations, whether Congress could do it on a state-by-state basis or whether it has to do it on a national level.
Driving this, Richard, appears to be a trend somewhere for nationalizing the elections.
That's what I think is going to end up happening.
Right.
And then there's going to be the question, can you nationalize the redistricting kinds of procedures?
And the answer would be yes as well.
They would say yes under this. And I think, in effect, that that's a tough haul.
We just have 30 seconds, Richard. Go ahead.
I think the question of sort of national redistricting has become a huge issue, because when the Supreme Court in the Russo cases basically said, we count votes, one man, one vote, one person, one vote, to 0.001%. And then on the question about the shape of the districts, frankly, my dear, we don't have a judiciable standards. We're not going to do anything about it. That's what opened up the area for massive abuse in every single state. The red states did it. The blue states did it. And if there were green states, they would have done it as well. And something has to be done in order to make sure that some kind of a compactness requirement is put into place. And something has to be done to make sure that it's taken out of the control of the political parties. That's what they try to do in Arizona. They couldn't do it because if they said redistricting is subject to the legislature,
Professor,
can you make an executive commission a legislator? But that's the problem.
Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.